Our Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. Feel free to follow along in your Bibles or on the screens. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol, rather in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood dead a distance. And Moses said, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put fear of him upon you, so that you do not sin." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The New Testament lesson today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning with the second part of verse 4. I have a lot of pieces and parts up here. I apologize. I'll just chat with you while I'm looking. When I was at home last night, I said, "Oh, I'm going to mark everything and it'll all be good and I can just flip right to it." And then I forgot how I marked, and I also forgot how much I actually have in this Bible. A lot of note cards. There we go. Philippians chapter 3. This is a writing of Paul to the church at Philippi. He had been working with them, and they had questions, and so he was trying to answer them. She said, still completely, "I've run out of things to chatter about." Hear the word of the Lord. If anyone else has a reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surprising value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him, even in his death. And if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this is the testimony of Paul. This is one of the things that Paul wanted to make sure that he understood, that he made clear to the people around him. While we have so many issues coming down on us and crashing on us, we still, as Christians, have a job. And that is to draw others to Christ. As most of you know, this has been a tumultuous week in our church. It started on last Sunday with the death of Elizabeth and everything that has to happen because of that. Of importance, incredible importance, those of you who know Elizabeth or might have visited in her home, you know she has two cats. And her two cats do not like anybody else. In fact, when Dayan, her son, was here a few weeks ago and lived in the house for 3 weeks, he said to me, "They still won't come to me." And so we're taking care of the cats in the midst of everything else that's happening. After dealing with the wonderful people that came and helped us last Sunday, then we found out just less than 48 hours later that Sue Rose's husband, Gene, had died. And so we had a lot to do in the midst of that, especially as we tried to be with Sue and to help her. And then at the same time, Jim Leap went into the hospital and Rick and I played tag team of going to see him and being with him. And then Sue got the devastating news, not quite devastating. Sue's son-in-law was in a hospital in southern Indiana, and he was on life support. And on Thursday, he died. And so now then, that even reminds us all the more of how fragile our life is here on this earth and how we are to live to be with each other. And especially that God calls us not to draw people to us personally, but to lift them up to Jesus Christ and to draw people to Christ. For Christians, we believe that our salvation comes through Jesus. For Christians, we believe that God knows us so intimately, inside and out, that everything we have, everything we believe, everything we do, can help point to Christ. Absolutely everything. I know a long time ago I've used this illustration, and maybe some of you will remember it, and so you can just beat me to the punchline if you like. I grew up in the United Methodist Church. Well, actually, I grew up in the Methodist Church, which became the United Methodist Church. And I grew up every summer going to Epworth Forest. Now, sometimes I was there for camp, and sometimes I was there visiting my parents' friends, or sometimes I was there because my parents had taken a cottage and we were just staying there for a week or so. But Epworth Forest has been such an incredible part of my life, and the life of my family, so much so that when my dad's very good friends decided to sell one of their three cottages that they owned, my dad bought it. He completely redid the whole thing, and so we didn't have this I'm going to say it's wallpaper from the 40s or the 50s or the 60s, somewhere there. But that was all over the insides of that cottage, and that all came out. Dad expanded it a little bit. But my family spent lots of time in Mom and Dad's cottage. It sometimes was difficult to explain to my dad that why I couldn't just drive up the 2.5 hours to have dinner with them and then drive back home. He didn't get that at all. But we did spend time there. Mom and Dad's cottage was just down the road from the place in Epworth Forest that is the retreat center. And if you've ever been there, you know that at part of the old retreat center, there is a statue of Jesus. And the statue of Jesus stands up on a pedestal with hands out, looking down. Fast forward to several years, and my nieces are born. And so, yes, they grew up at Epworth Forest too. They knew all parts of it. They especially they loved staying at the cabin with Grandma and Grandpa because, you know, Grandpa hid all these snacks from Grandma, but they came out when Grandma went to bed. Grandkids, right? They loved staying there. One time, my brother-in-law had his youth group up there. And my niece, my oldest niece, was about 4 or 5 years old. And so she had gone to one of the classes with her dad, but she wanted to go back to the cottage to see Grandma and Grandpa. And she kind of snuck out. And she got out and she got all turned around. And someone who worked on the ground said, "Hey, can I help you?" And she said, "If you can just point me to Jesus, I can get home from there." Truly, out of the mouths of babes, what she said was, "Get me to the statue, and I know Grandma and Grandpa's house is just right down that street." But it has importance way beyond. Paul knew that. Paul knew that if we could just point people to Christ, if we could just be the ones that would help people understand the love of God, it's one of the reasons most of us are here. Somebody pointed us to Christ. And yet, when we look at what has happened in the life of Jesus, when we remember that Jesus also was in great sorrow when he lost his friends through death, remembering that Jesus, as God, knows that we soon will all be together in heaven again, and yet Jesus still felt that sorrow. It's the part of Jesus, the totally human part of Jesus. And Paul understood that as well. Paul understood that there are going to be things in our lives that bring us incredible grief and pain. It's one of the reasons that I love the story of how a person named Saul becomes a person named Paul, because this marks a point in his life when he truly began to understand who God is and who Christ is in his life. So, I cling to this story. I cling to this story about pressing on and remembering that even when Jesus walked on this earth, Jesus faced sorrow. Even when Paul was on this earth, Paul faced sorrow. All of us, at one time or another, we also face sorrow. However, it's our lives that we have in Christ that allows us to see that this is a gift from God. It's a gift from God to be here together. It's a gift from God to be able to share with Sue. It's a gift from God to be able to share with Dayan when he comes in a few weeks. It's a gift from God that we are together and that we are a family. And it's only because of God. We're not alone. So, I love being reminded that Jesus wasn't always happy, that Paul wasn't always happy. In fact, he even explains in here, I've had all kinds of things happen to me, and yet I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I press on. I press on. For our congregation and for our world that is hurting and knows so much sorrow, may we be the ones to also press on. May we be the ones to stand up and say, oh, my heart is breaking right along with you. And yet, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't know that this life that we have here is a taste of what is to come, if you don't know that we are truly, truly loved, oh, we're not always going to be happy. We're not always going to be just rosy and have a great, fantastic day. And yet, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our grief, for Christians, we hold on to Jesus Christ. It's been a tough week. It's been a tough week for, well, okay, selfishly, it's been a little tough for me. And yet I can only imagine how tough it is for you all. I can only imagine how tough it is for you, Sue. I can only imagine how tough it is for those who loved Elizabeth so well. In the midst of this grief, this song popped into my head. It's, well, okay, let me just be, I'm going to be really straightforward and upfront with you. It's from the 1980s. Okay, I've said it. I'm proud of it. I grew up in the 80s. Okay, I was an adult, but I grew up in the 80s. It was a song by Billy Sprague, and the first time I heard it on the radio, I was hooked. It's very 80s, and so, you know, don't think that we're in a disco or anything. But his song was called Press On, and the words go like this. I was down in the valley of the shadow of death, where the passion for life drained like blood from my chest, and it took more than my will just to take a step when the compass of hope was gone. In a silence so black that I wished for the blues, every desperate prayer seemed like heaven refused. And some days I found faith meant just tying my shoes, and it was all I could do to press on. Paul's words. And so then he sings the chorus that goes like this, press on, mi amigo, press on, mon ami, my friends. Walk on in the face of the mystery, though the night hides the light through the darkness till dawn. Tie your shoes, my dear friend, and press on. On the ocean so lonesome, I was not left alone. Had some heavyweight friends when my heart was a stone, and they carried the heartache and made it their own. When the currents of sorrow were strong, and one said, I pray your memories will not drag you down, not be anchors, but treasures of the love that you have found. And his kind words turned hurt into comfort somehow, and a wind in my sails to press on. Though the days seem like years, there may be giants in our fears, but they who sow in tears shall reap in joy. They shall run and leap in joy. Tie your shoes, my dear friend, and press on. And then he says, Well, I know it's a mystery, but you got to keep going on. And it ends saying, get up, take my hand, we can make it together. Come on. Now, I know I've asked for an awful lot from you all through these many months and couple of years, but I'm going to ask for your indulgence because I want us to hear it. I want us to feel it because it reminds us that no matter what happens to us, God is God and God is in the heaven, and we can have the strength to press on. For those of you that absolutely positively hate the 1980s and all the music that came from it and all the pop, well, just cover your ears. Please listen to Billy Sprague as he ministers to us at this time. What I love most about this song is that Billy Sprague reminds us that we don't go alone, reminds us that we can hold each other's hands and we can help each other through anything that happens to us, that God created us to be a people of God, not a person of God. And so in our days to come, may we also find the strength to press on. May we also find the courage to hold hands and to support each other and love each other and see the face of God. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.